And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, our Thursday edition this afternoon. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman. Well, Bonnie, the popular Cinco de Mayo Mexican celebration dates back to 1862.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
151 years later, it's still a worldwide vibrant part of the culture. And joining us now is chef, author, and syndicated columnist, my longtime friend, Linda Gassenheimer. Linda, we have a special guest to talk about the delights of true Mexican cuisine. So, what's on the menu?
What's on the menu? Well, first
of all, just tacos and nachos.
Cinco de Mayo, some people may not know, is May 5th, coming up this weekend.
And commemorates a battle.
It's a day for mariachi music and margaritas and lots of salsas and lots of fun. And in fact, you know what? It's such a popular. We love a party here in Miami anyway. It's so popular.
There's some good spots in Miami for Cinco de Mayo.
Right, and some restaurants have not just Sunday, it's the whole weekend. It's going to be a party weekend here. And as you mentioned, there's more to Mexican food than just Tex-Mex. And here to help us is television host Patty Hinich. And her book is called, and also her PBS series is called.
And we've been carrying that on WLRN-TV.
Here. Exactly, Patty's Mexican Table.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to help us plan our own festivities. Let's welcome her. Patty Hinich, welcome.
Hi, Linda. Hi, thank you for having me on.
No, our pleasure. Our pleasure for sure. So if you couldn't guess, our topic today is Mexican foods. Call us with your questions. Maybe you have an ingredient you're looking for. Or do you have a special Mexican recipe you'd like to share with us? Our expert will have your answers. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576. And do we have email, Bonnie?
We do. It's radio@WLRN.org.
And with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and he writes the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes columns. And also, you can read his column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, are we drinking today?
Absolutely. You talk about Mexican wine or food, and I'll talk about Mexican wine. How's that?
Sounds good to me. Are you going to leave out the beer?
Yes, actually, I am.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, let's hear about that.
No Dos Equis?
No.
Who knows? Patty Hinich, congratulations on Patty's Mexican Table. It's really a beautiful book. I've got it here in front of me. It's got magnificent pictures in it. And Joe alluded to the date of the holiday, but tell us, what does it commemorate? It's not really Independence Day, is it?
It's not. And, you know, whenever I see my Mexican friends here in the U.S., we always look at each other baffled at how this Cinco de Mayo thing has exploded in the United States. Because in Mexico, Cinco de Mayo is a very local celebration and not this festive. It's quite somber, and it only happens, or mostly happens, in the state of Puebla, because we commemorate a battle that was won by the people from Puebla against the French in the 1860s. It was a short-lived triumph, only a couple of days, and the French won right back. But this battle has been an excuse.
Oh, I didn't know that. The French won back
shortly
after that?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
So it was, it's very funny, Linda. It was a very small Mexican militia won against this huge French battalion, but they only won for a couple of days. Then the French won right back, and after a couple of years, the emperor was executed, and then Mexico became an independent nation again. But, however, fast forward to today, Cinco de Mayo has become so huge in the United States that many people think it's our 4th of July.
Right, right.
You know, well, I always thought it was the anniversary of the invention of the margarita. Shows on the
that is so funny, because that's what it seems to be. I mean, we all, Mexicans love these. We, you know, like you in Miami, Mexicans love a party. And we love any excuse to celebrate and eat Mexican food and listen and dance to Mexican music. But we're all thinking, what is going on, you know? It's very funny. It's just an excuse to celebrate Mexicanness, anything Mexican. So, of course, we all Mexicans love it. But when you go back to Mexico, if you go and visit on a Cinco de Mayo, the kids are going to school. It's not a national holiday, not a festive day. Things are just going on.
Well, okay, so Mexican food, we usually think of it as Tex-Mex, like nachos and fajitas and that kind of thing. But as you mentioned in your book and on your program, it's much more than that. So tell us a little bit about the real Mexican food. What are some of your favorite dishes?
It is so much more than that, Linda. And that's why I focus in my cookbook on home-style Mexican cooking, because I think there have been like two or three Mexican staples that have become sort of very famous in the U.S. and have transformed themselves. If you go to Mexico, you won't see a burrito in the style that you find it here, where there's anything and everything except the sink inside of a tortilla.
And, no McDonald's breakfast burritos?
No McDonald's breakfast burritos. In fact, in Mexico, burritos or burritas, because we call them by the feminine, they only have one filling. And as I have in the cookbook, and this is one of my favorite foods, you have the chilorio, which is, this is one of my favorites. It's meat, usually pork or chicken, that is first cooked, covered with fresh squeezed orange juice and a little bit of salt until the meat renders off all of the fat, and it becomes so soft, it's like coming off of itself. And then you finish it off with an ancho chili sauce that's not spicy, but it's nice and complexly layered. And it becomes sort of a like a sloppy joe filling with Mexican flavors, a little bit moist. And that's what usually goes inside of a burrito. Just simple.
Your description is making us all very, very hungry.
Now the 5th is Sunday. Could you come and cook some of this for us?
Right.
But let me tell you.
And we'll show you Miami.
Oh, listen, I love Miami. I was telling Linda that I have a sister who's actually a pastry chef and lives in Miami. She's there with you, and she's a much better cook than I am.
She has a bistro.
Okay, well, leave us her number off the air.
She can invite us there, okay.
Absolutely. She's she's based in Aventura, and she also started with a food truck. She's a pastry chef. She specializes in Latin style or Mexican style, like cupcakes and cookies. It's Alisa's Painted Bistro.
Alisa's Painted Bistro. But let's go on to, I'm intrigued by your chicken a la trash in the book. Tell us about chicken a la trash.
I love you noticed. And this was a discussion that I had with my editor. She's like, Patty, do you really want to call it that? And I was like, well, that's its name. And it makes sense. It makes sense because you're throwing together so many ingredients that rationally wouldn't make sense together. For example, you have potatoes and poblano peppers and prunes.
Is that a Mexican thing?
We eat a lot of prunes and raisins and cranberries and dried fruits. That's a big thing in Mexico. And then that dish is finished off with sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds. And it's just a delightful combination. You don't need to eat anything else because you have the chicken and the potatoes and the vegetables. And I told my editor, you know, I think that once people get over the shock, if they try the recipe, they're just going to crack up with the name.
Right. Okay, so let's say we want to have a Mexican fiesta party this weekend at home. Give us some ideas. What are some simple dishes we can make?
Of course. First of all, you can make gorgeous Mexican salads that are, you know, much better, exotic and interesting, much more than the usual potluck salads you will find at parties. I think people usually don't know what to do with a salad. And it doesn't have to be a boring thing. It can be an exciting thing. I have a recipe in the cookbook for a heart of palm and avocado and grape tomato salad.
For what was the first ingredient?
It's Hearts of Palm.
Oh, Hearts of Palm. Okay. You cracked the phone connection was a little difficult.
Yeah. And my accent doesn't help either, I guess.
Well, that's all right. We're
charming.
Yes. It's adorable.
So it's very easy to make. It's Hearts of Palm, corn. We're getting into the season. Tomatoes. And you can choose all different flavors of grape or baby tomatoes. Avocado, ripe avocado, and then it has a light dressing, a very simple dressing. And it's a salad that's easy to make, it's refreshing, it's interesting. So I would start with a couple of salads. I have another one that's also delicious in the cookbook, that's made with jicama. Have you guys tried jicama?
Yes, I've heard about jicama. And, you know, when I was in Mexico City one time, I was at a street market, and they as a snack, I was just amazed. They cut the jicama fresh right there, and they put a little bit of lemon juice on it, and you just eat it as a snack. And it's just wonderful, raw jicama. And that's J-I-C-A-M-A. I think I spelled it right.
You did.
And it's in the markets here. It's a vegetable. It looks almost like some sort of a root vegetable. Sort of
exactly.
Round.
It looks like some form of root vegetable in a cross with a coconut because it has that beige-colored thin skin. But, Linda, that's what my mom used to send to me when I went to school as a little girl. It was a big torta or sandwich and a side of jicama or cucumber and carrots drizzled with fresh-squeezed lime juice, a little bit of salt, and some dried ground chili that doesn't have to be spicy. And the incredible thing is people think about Mexican food as being greasy and fattening and over-condimented, and the truth is that most Mexican food is simple like that.
And
I kind of like the greasy stuff.
It's a great snack, but you know what? We're going to have to take a short break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest is television personality Patty Hinich. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
You like that, Linda? Are you dancing, Linda?
I'm up here doing a dance here.
I don't see it. Come on, Linda.
Let's dance, Bonnie. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And my guest is Patty Hinich. She's the host of Patty's Mexican Table, aired here, right here at WLRN. And her book is also Patty's Mexican Table.
Linda, was that a rose in your mouth there?
Dancing around here? Yeah, Joe, you kind of mean carpet. We've been talking about Cinco de Mayo. It's coming up this Sunday, and we've been talking about Mexican food. But here's a quick dinner in minutes with a kind of a Mexican theme to it. It's a turkey mushroom quesadilla with corn and black bean salad on the side. We mentioned salads just earlier. It's kind of a Mexican-style sandwich made with tortillas. And the mushrooms and spinach can be cooked easily and quickly in the microwave, just a quick couple of minutes. And then I filled the quesadilla, the tortilla, I put in a skillet just for a minute on one side, flip it over, gets a little bit golden, and I put half the side of it, I put some spinach and mushrooms, and then you can have some cooked turkey, or maybe you have some cooked chicken left over, put that in there, a little cheese over that, fold it in half, I put the cover on and let the cheese melt, and that's my
Now, are you saying easy. That either Fred or I could make this in 15 minutes?
Well, Joe, listen up here. You're buying the turkey
Maybe
already
Fred
cooked.
Could. Okay.
All right? So that's number one. Number two.
Hey, I'm willing to try.
The spinach and mushrooms are going in the microwave, okay?
All right.
In between glasses of champagne, right, Fred?
That would be a nice combination, wouldn't it?
Well,
that sounded like a five-minute dinner to me.
Thank you, Patty. I need somebody on my side. Thank you very much for the salad, frozen corn kernels, and some canned black beans that are drained and rinsed with a vinaigrette dressing. Put it over some lettuce leaves. Anyway, Joe, look, you can go on my website, and you can get the whole recipe. That's at dinnerinminutes.com with a photograph. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Taskin, so we're not having margaritas. What are we having?
Well, we're having wine. It's not widely known in the U.S., I suppose, but Mexico has been making wine a lot longer than we have. I looked up the history, and it says that the Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes, who was in Mexico in the 1500s,
wow,
conquering the Aztecs, ran out of the wine that he brought with him, so he ordered every colonist to plant 1,000 vines. This was in the 1500s. The wine, what they planted was the mission grape, which was called that because they used it for religious purposes in the mission. And the grape could make either red wine or white wine, dry wine or sweet wine, but all had one characteristic in common. They were very wimpy. They were boring, but they did have alcohol, so that was useful for the colonists. Finally, in the 1980s, things got better. A Bordeaux-trained winemaker named Hugo da Costa, who had the idea that the northern end of Baja California in Mexico was close enough to California's climate that he could make good wine there, founded a wine industry, and now it's really growing up in the Guadalupe Valley. There's quite an industry there now. I tasted some of these wines a while ago, and they were pretty good. This year, Wine Enthusiast magazine gave 92 points and an award for Baja's best red wine to the 2007 Viña de Garzas Amado wine, which is a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Tempranillo, and Zinfandel. And it needs to be good because it's $54 a bottle. And one of the white wines that the wine enthusiast liked was the Casa de Piedra Un-Oak Chardonnay, which sells for $23.
Are these wines available in regular stores here?
It is kind of hard to find Mexican wines in the U.S. market, but if you go to bajawines.com, that's BAJAwines.com, you'll find a company that says it can legally ship them to you, so it's worth a try. So now you can celebrate Cinco de Mayo without hurting yourself with all those margaritas.
All right. So, Bonnie, you had an email or a question?
No, I had a question for Patty. You were talking about your sister. You said she makes Mexican-style cupcakes.
Yeah, so she makes Mexican-inspired or Latin-inspired dishes. So, for example, she has a chocolate cupcake. See, my mouth just started watering saying the name. She has the best ever chocolate cupcakes that are filled with cajeta, which is Mexico's dulce de leche. So she has the moistest batter for the cupcakes. I mean, they almost feel wet. And then she has the cajeta filling, which is like caramel. And then she covers them with a thick chocolate ganache. They're incredible.
And wow, can you imagine the calorie count on that? It's probably worth it, but wow.
But let me tell you, that's the thing, and that's one other thing that I say in the cookbook. I have what I think a very complete dessert section, and I say that in Mexico, people are really used to having dessert every day. I mean, I grew up eating dessert every day, and it was a part of the main meal, which in Mexico is a comida, you know, the big lunch, not the dinner. And it was just a slice of something, you know, a slice of pound cake, a piece of Jello, some fresh fruit with orange juice. And there is really a cultural difference in the way we treat desserts. So my kids don't go crazy when they see chocolate or pound cake or something because they're used to having a little bit every day. And I think it's all a matter of balance. You know, you have a little. You don't have to have the dozen of cupcakes, you have one.
Right. You know, another thing I noticed when I was in Mexico City was the chocolate.
Yeah.
Such wonderful, wonderful chocolate.
Imagine you noticing the chocolate. That's amazing.
Yeah. Is that a surprise? We're at my favorite section here, the dessert section. Okay.
Yeah. I think you may be part Mexican.
Oh, all right. So we only have about a half a minute left, but tell me something. Why is chocolate so good in Mexico?
Because it comes from Mexico. It's, you know, Mexico is one of those native ingredients that has been a gift to the world. And, of course, it has been the process of making chocolate has been, you know, gone wild in Europe and other parts of the world. But that's the place where it originated. And so it has a lot of flavor and depth, and there are a lot of traditions surrounding how to make it and use it. And one specialty that I love is the Mexican-style hot chocolate.
Oh, yes, and wonderful. And you dip those churros?
The churros
in it?
Churros,
oh, yes. Mm.
I can't roll those R's, but I sure like them.
And you know what?
You can practice with us.
Okay, Patty, this has just been so delightful, but we're just about out of time. Really, really tasty day today. Thank you, Patty Hinich, for joining us. Now, her book is Patty's Mexican Table, and you can also see her Mexican table here at WLRN. I guess if you go to WLRN.org, it varies as
they'll
to timing.
They'll have the listing
of it. Congratulations. It's a great book, Patty.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Well, next week, we're going to be talking with Susan Finn. We're going to be talking about eating right to keep fit. Bonnie and Joe, great to be with you today.
Well, likewise, you. Linda.
Well, I'm Linda
and
Gassenheimer.
Fred. Join and me. Patty.
And join me next week.